Sexual intercourse involves a woman eroticizing powerlessness and her own self-annihilation. The very boundaries of her body become meaningless to her, and even worse, useless to her. The transgression of those boundaries come to signify a sexually charged degradation into which she throws herself, having been told, convinced, that identity for a female is there, somewhere beyond privacy and self-respect. Don't you enjoy holding a sweet, warm little baby and watching him contentedly nurse at your breast? Don't you treasure that first little smile as your baby drinks you in, the most important person in the world? Isn't it satisfying to make a yucky little bottom all clean and sweet? And can't you laugh at your offspring's gooey face, innocently awash in carrots and rice cereal? Doesn't it make you feel special that God has trusted you to nurture and protect this tiny little morsel of helpless humanity? Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about something potentially extremely important, which is happening in America and to a lesser extent in the rest of the Anglosphere, and that is the Quiverful movement. It is a movement that seeks, quite consciously and deliberately, via wombfare, via having as many children as possible, to simply outbreed non-Christians and thus bring about an entirely Christian world. And this is something that is perfectly possible in so much as it has been found that the heritability of extreme religiosity is about 0.7. So it's very, very substantially heritable, about 0.66 genetic. And so therefore, if you control the environment when people are young and you inculcate them with Christianity, when they already have a strong genetic propensity to be Christian, then you can keep them Christian. The hold-in rate, the rate at which people who are brought up fundamentalist Christians defect is only about 20%. So about 80% of them don't defect. And so if it carries on like that, then a very, very small number of people, of fundamentalist Christians, can outbreed everybody else. And that is the policy of a group known as the Quiverful Movement. It's not really a group, it's more of an ideology, the Quiverful Movement. As I say, that we don't know exactly how many people there are that follow this Quiverful idea. It's between the thousands and the 10,000s. And they are based around a certain passage in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, where it says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." So this is the founding biblical passage of the Quiverful Movement. It is founded around what I was referring to earlier. You may have seen an earlier video that I did on baby fever. And baby fever, and there's a lot of interesting research on this, comes upon certain women. There are certain environmental factors that seem to predict, or environmental and genetic factors that seem to predict baby fever. One of them is that it's partly heritable, that people whose mothers have it also have it. But another is that you are around babies, that your friends are having babies and whatever. And you can have women that have no real interest in having babies that will suddenly, be filled with these hormones or whatever, and they will have a very strong desire to be mothers. They will obsess about being mothers. They will obsess about babies. It will completely dominate their lives. And obviously those women that have that baby fever will have lots of children. Now, there are two dimensions to that, which would be under selection. One would be the personality traits and that would make you want to have children. Now, one of these is the personality trait agreeableness. So if you are high in altruism and empathy, then you want to nurture and therefore you want to have lots of children. Another would be to a certain degree independent of that would be simply that you have this sudden desire to have children, this baby fever, and so both of these things we would expect to be under selection. And indeed, there is evidence, as I looked at in my other video, that that baby fever is becoming increasingly heritable. Now, this would mean, of course, that the people that would have that trait would, in a world in which people that want to have children can have them, and in which people, or unless they are of low IQ, who don't want to have children can avoid having them, that that trait of baby fever would take over the world. That trait of wanting to have lots of children could very, very quickly take over the world, and suddenly we would have a population crisis. Now, that is what we are dealing with the Quiverful movement. It was founded, really, by one woman's baby fever, and it is a woman who has a personality type which you wouldn't actually expect to be associated with wanting to have lots of children. Woman born in the 50s called Mary Pride in America. And in 1985, she wrote the inspirational book of the Quiverful movement, which is called The Way Home, Beyond Feminism, Back to Reality. Now, this woman was obviously extremely intelligent, which is negatively associated, by the of course, with having children and with wanting to have children, especially among women, possibly because people that are more intelligent are lower in instinct, because the more intelligent you are, then the more environmentally plastic you are and the less instinctive you are. She was doing a degree in computer science. So she's obviously an extremely intelligent woman. This would also imply she was quite high in autistic traits if she was good at computer science, which would mean that she was high in autism and therefore low in agreeableness and relatively low in empathy. And she was a convinced feminist and leftist. She got married, and in 1978 she converted to Christianity. And then a bit later, and she had her first child. And then in that context, and this would predict baby fever, in that context, the baby fever hit in. And she had this very, very strong and overwhelming desire to simply be a mother and to have lots and lots of children. And therefore, she had essentially a second conversion. So first of all, she went from being a feminist to being a Christian, and then from being a Christian to being a Christian, where she developed a specific theology, a specific worldview, which essentially justified her broader idea of baby fever, of having lots of children, of being looked after so that she could be nothing more than a mother and have lots of children. And from there, she developed this extremely conservative theology whereby the husband has complete authority over the female, and she found various Bible verses to back that up. The female must at all times trust and obey the husband. The husband is effectively God's representative in the family, and is to be obeyed and trusted by everybody in the family, to the extent that even if there are allegations of child abuse, social services shouldn't be removing children. The ability of social services to remove children is simply a way of interfering with God's holy and ordained notion of the family. And moreover, that of course children should be homeschooled. Now, why should children be homeschooled? Well, it's obvious. If you want to sustain these ideas, then you cannot of having as many children as possible, and of women being highly submissive to the patriarchy, then it is a very bad idea to expose them to the normal schools of the world. So therefore you don't do that, and you of course homeschool them. Now, this is so what she then developed from this, it's ironic really, considering that she's claiming to be this humble, meek wife who should only have children and the husband should be entirely in charge, was something of an entrepreneur in the world of promoting Christian homeschooling. But anyway, look, that's sort of by the by. But what you have is this very powerful pronatalist theology, essentially, which takes certain components of Christianity which are pronatalist and strongly emphasises those. Now, within that pronatalism, you have then this very, very strong idea of patriarchy. So something has to be in it for the husband. What's in it? Normally, women will have this baby fever. They are the ones that want to have lots and lots of babies. The husband will see that as investing his resources. The husband won't want to have lots of babies. So what's in it for him? It's almost, I think, almost like an evolutionary trade-off. What's in it for him to sustain this baby fever of his wife, to work and invest and whatever, while his wife is simply at home having lots of babies and doing the thing she really enjoys doing, which is having lots of babies? And what's in it for him is that he is offered complete and total dominance over her, complete and total power over her, which is very, very specific in the Quiverful theology. It could be argued that this is pretty much stated in the Bible anyway, that the husband is patriarchal and the husband is dominant over the female. But in this context, it is very, very much played up. The husband is having to invest all his resources in this massive family. And therefore, obviously, he wants to be sure that the children are his and his wife isn't sleeping around. And so what he gets in return is a theology which promotes him as completely dominant over his family, as God in his own home, as completely dominant over his wife. It's almost like the idea that he is the knight, chivalrous, he's the knight in shining armour, and she is the damsel in distress, and he rescues her, and it's God's will that he does so, and he simply gives her lots of children. So that's the theology of the Quiverful movement, and as I say, it was started off by a woman who does not have the personality traits which we would predict would mean that she would have a baby fever, or that she would want to have lots of children, but she does, she has even so this baby fever, and there's a lot of evidence for that, that you'll have women that will have no interest in children at all, and then when, or very little interest, and then when they're in the right circumstances, surrounded by others that have lots of babies or whatever it happens to be, then this baby fever will hit in and it will become an obsession and it will be extremely powerful. Now that's what started it off then, Mary Pride's baby fever. But from there you end up with this this campaign to Christianize the world via fertility. And this is what you have with Mary Pride. And because I think she's got a degree in computer science, because I think she's a bit autistic, she's very, very logical and clear about it in her own book. So it's a form of evangelism based around womb fair. So she actually calculates it. In her own book, she says, let's say that Christians are 20% of the US population. If each Christian family had 6 children, and humanists, feminists and others kept on having an average of 1, which is realistic considering how they feel about fruitful heterosexual marriage, then in 20 years there would be 60 of us for every 40 of them. In 40 years, 90% of America would be Christian. That is without evangelism. All we have to do would be to have children and raise them for Christ. Even if Christians were only 2% of the population, which I think is more accurate, then in 2 generations, at the reproduction rates I already mentioned, we would be over 40% of the population. Now, and she goes on to look at the church's enemies, which is people deliberately pushing antinatalism and all of this sort of thing. So you can see what that would lead to. It would lead to an enormous influence of that part of policy, an enormous influence from beneath of Christians, which would potentially push the policies of America, controlling for immigration and these kinds of factors, of course, although there are non-whites becoming involved in the Quiverful movement, in a Christian and in a fundamentalist direction. And it is indeed policy of the Quiverful movement to ensure that via this process that God's law becomes civil law, because eventually there will be so many of them that they will overwhelm things. Now, you could argue, and Academic Agent in a video has made a very good point about this, that actually power comes from the elites. It's no, you're not going to get a revolution from beneath. It doesn't work like that. Power comes from the elites. So the question is, what are the elites doing? The elites will control things. You will not get a revolution of... it doesn't matter how many, what percent of the population are Christian, if they're 40%, even if they're 90%. The question is, what are the more intelligent people? Because they will be able to control things. But the thing is that this movement is popular among more intelligent, educated kinds of women. And indeed, it is like Mary Pride. And indeed, it is their deliberate policy to try to push people to have lots and lots of children, to make sure that they go to university and so forth, and to make sure that they become part of the elite and thus promote Christianity within the elite. So they're actually aware of this. They're that politically savvy. They understand the way that elite revolutions and so forth work. And they understand that, and they are themselves highly educated middle class people that become involved in this, and they are trying to push the elite in their direction, in a quite deliberate and self-conscious strategy. So this is the ultimate example, and I know I've said it before in other videos, but this is the ultimate example of what does religion do? Religion takes that which is adaptive in evolutionary terms, whether in terms of individual selection or group selection, the battle between groups, and it turns it into the will of God, such that those that follow it feel a strong, righteous sense that they are absolutely doing the right thing and God is on their side and they are more likely to follow it. And that is true whether it's in World War One and you have the Archbishop of Canterbury saying, oh, let's kill as many Germans as possible in the name of the Lord. And it is true of this movement. This movement in a context in which there is a lot of antinatalism, in which the societal... theology, if you like, the sort of neo-Gnostic theology that we now live under with wokeism and whatever, is antinatalist, individualist, please yourself. At best, it's please yourself and be hedonistic, and at worst, it's feel terribly, terribly guilty for being Western and therefore don't have children as a kind of penance. In that context, it's saying it is God's will that we have as many children as we possibly can, that we invest enormous intellectual resources in those children, in educating those children, in homeschooling those children, ensuring those children believe in Christianity and whatever, and that we push those children into elite positions. And therefore, we quite consciously engage in a kind of womb fair. Now, my own book with our squire, The Past is a Future Country, which is coming out in July, looks at the fact that among the elite portion of the population, so among the high IQ quadrant, it is religiousness that predicts having children. And this is consistent with a change in the nature of the elite, with the current polarisation that we see in the elites, whereby you have the left-wing woke elite, but you have a kind of rival right-wing wannabe elite that also has high IQ. Now, this didn't exist really 20 years ago, but it does seem to exist now. And this would a religious fundamentalist aspirant elite. And this would be consistent with the evidence that when you control for IQ, the thing that predicts having children is being a fundamentalist Christian and being extremely conservative. And it would be consistent with the evidence that if you look at the high IQ quadrant, then the thing that negatively, strongly negatively predicts breeding among the very high IQ people is that they are liberal and left-wing. And the thing that very strongly predicts breeding is that they are religious and conservative. And that would be congruous with the fact that it is the conservative, high IQ conservatives that have lots of children. Conservatism and Christianity protect IQ. They are the shell that protects IQ. And there is no more extreme example of this than with the Quiverful movement. And so the Quiverful movement has grown and grown and grown because of the way that they simply have so many children. And what we would expect to happen is that gradually those that follow this theology, because they have so many children, will grow, spread and spread and spread in exactly the same way that the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel have gone from being a small percentage of the population to being, albeit not necessarily among the elite, but a very substantial voting block of the population in Israel, such that they can push in their own interests. In the same way that here in northern Finland, we have a group called the Lasalle Lestardians, the conservative Lestardians, they also shun contraception. I should stress that the queer movement completely shuns contraception. Contraception is verboten. The idea is that it's providentialism. God will look after you. Don't worry. Live in a trailer. Just have lots of children and trust that God will provide, and he somehow does provide because you believe that he does. The Lestardians, I mean, I live in Oulu in northern Finland. There's a woman in Liminka, just down the road, who had 23 children. And it's fairly likely that those 23 children will, all of them themselves, go on to have children as long as they continue to believe in Lestardianism, which is this sect within the Lutheran Church where you have certain rules, such as that you can't dye your hair and you don't wear makeup and you don't wear earrings and you don't use contraception. And if you are a Lestardian and you only have what they would regard as quite a small number of children, let's say you're a Lestardian and you only have 6 children, well, that implies that we're using contraception. What's going on there? And somebody might come up to you and say, hey, Onko Kaikki Hyvin, is everything okay? Because they might be concerned about the genuineness of your faith that you only have 6 children. And so, of course, they are about a third of the population of this area of northern Finland where I'm from. And you can notice them in the street. These women, they're very, very pretty and so forth. And they have their hair very well coiffed and curled and so forth because they're allowed to do that. But they don't wear makeup. But you'd think they were wearing makeup because their skin is so sort of pure and sort of glowing. So these people will be the future, potentially. So I think this is a fascinating idea, the Quiverful movement. And I just thought I would tell you a bit about it. Okay, well, I hope this is a bit of interest. And if it has, then please subscribe. It helps me finally if you do that. Remember, you can, if you want to help the channel, you can see where to do so below. You can donate through Odyssey and through Subscribestar. I live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!